I heard the Lord say, are you singing a song? Are you making a declaration? Are you decreeing his word over you, over your family? Do you believe this is what he has for you? Do you believe that this is going to come to pass? If it is, then this should not be a song in assembly. This should be a confession every day. As often as you think of it, you decree the word of the Lord and watch him move. Watch him move. But if you don't ever speak, he has nothing to work with. What do you believe? Is this your confession? Are you going to believe his word, even in song, and stand up and shout your victory?
Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Jesus, you're all I need. Father, we thank you that you are a shepherd. We shall not lack for any good thing, Lord. That you are more than enough, not just enough to get by, but more than enough in every situation, in every circumstance. You are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Whatever seems to be lacking, whatever seems to be missing, God makes up the gap. He fills in the hedge. He has more than enough. Whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance is, he has more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Father, we thank you for the assembly this morning, Father. It belongs to you, Lord. And we thank you for the opportunity to praise and worship you, Father. You've already caused us to interact with your presence, Father. So we thank you for your manifest presence here this morning, Father. We ask you to continue to have your way, Father. Do what you want to do, how you want to do it. Minister to your family, Father. You know right where each one is. You know what each one needs, Father. Father, whatever that thing or those things are, Father, I just declare and decree, Father, that your life and that life more abundantly is made manifest to them this morning, Father. Your grace, your peace, your strength, your ability is made manifest to them this morning, Father. Father, we curse and cast down anything unlike the name and the blood of the Lamb. We call it null and void of effect, Father. And we declare and decree health where there was sickness, life where there was death, hope where there was despair. Now, in the name of Jesus. Your life and that life more abundantly made manifest to your children. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abundant overflow, abundant provision, peace of mind, peace of heart, vision, purpose, and direction for those who need it, Father. Whatever the need is right now, Father, we pray and we agree together that the need is met exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all we could ask, all we could think, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We rejoice in you, the God of our salvation, Father. We celebrate the victory, Lord, right now, this morning, Father, that it is done, done, done in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. You may be seated. It's good to see everyone. The believers assembled together once again in the house of God. The Bible says that where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. The book of Revelation says that he is the Lord who walks in the midst of the lampstands. The lampstands were the churches. It reveals that Christ is very well acquainted with his church, with his body. And he's very well acquainted with you in this house this day. The Bible says there's not a bird that falls from the air that God doesn't know about. There's a lot of birds in the earth. So there's not a hair on your head that he's not acquainted with. That's a lot of hair. But every follicle, God knows. Every situation, God knows. Every breath, God knows. Everything in the past, present, and everything that is to come, God knows. And that is the God you have. That is the Father you belong to. So it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God has good things in store for you. Open your heart, receive what he has for you, and also receive what he has through you to someone else. Amen. If you're watching by live stream, hello. We say grace and peace to you and your family this morning. Praise God. Do we have announcements?
Good morning. Praise God. First of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent a text or Google Hangout or Facebook, whatever it was. But thank you so much for wishing and extending a happy anniversary for me and my lovely wife. We had a blessed time on Friday enjoying just sometimes, as Sister Lou said, sometimes it's good just to enjoy the quietness. We took advantage of the quietness of the evening. So thank you all for blessing us. Just a few announcements to share. The regularly scheduled things that we have during the week, Tuesday prayer at 6:30, Brother Rob, his Zoom. Nothing on Saturday. Oh, okay. Pray at home. Pray. You should be praying at home. But Brother Rob said there will still be communion. Amen. But also the church offices starting on the 24th through the 1st are closed. Amen. So we give our church staff and just a nice relaxing time with family and giving them a break. We appreciate them. Amen. So much for all that they do for the body. Amen. That is all I have. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Michelle, who has a presentation.
Hallelujah. God is good, and he's got good people, and we just want to honor some of those good people this morning. I wish we could just bring everybody up here and let everybody know all the wonderful things that you do. We have seen some people step it up in the past year, in the past 2 years, coming alongside, assisting, doing more, and I just want to honor two families this morning. If I could have the Armbruster family up here in the front to my right. The Armbruster family. All of these guys are a vital part of this body. And if at any time any one of them is out, it generally takes an average of 3 to 5 people to fill in for them. Because of all of the things that they do, Sister Tammy works in the nursery. She's worked in the word shop. She's putting together Guardian. She is my armor bearer. She greets me and helps me out of my vehicle and carries my stuff and tries to carry more stuff. And I'm like, well, I can carry my stuff. She's like, yeah, but I want to carry your stuff. And it's such a blessing in so many ways and has come and helped me with things here in the office. And of course, Brother Steve, from the front to the back, from side to side, the entire building, you police it, you watch it, you take care of the finances in the front and the parking lot out there, and you cover the people, and you teach us and show us from the scripture how to give so eloquently. I love seeing you step into that. You have been such a blessing to our family. So many things that, stuff happens. While Richard's driving for fireworks, if I would need something, I could call Brother Steve and he would take care of things for me, moving furniture, you know, carrying double reclining couches upstairs and back down later. Moving furniture, putting up with the fact that I change the furniture every 3 months, and he walks in and never knows where to find anything. But you are an amazing blessing to the body of Christ, to House of the Lord. And of course, Brother William, the man upstairs that keeps getting more and more up and up and up and up. I remember when this child was born and they said that he couldn't be born, he couldn't be carried. There was no way. And you're a miracle. You are a miracle with purpose. And you are a blessing to us. And while everyone else is sitting out here enjoying the blessings of the Lord, William is up there running whatever it is that needs to be covered that day, whether it's the sound, the words on the screen, the camera, set, turning things on, just so many things that you do. And I know that you were a big assist in Kingdom Kids, and everywhere that you are, you're a blessing. You have a servant's heart, and it is not lost on us. And Miss Tara, Miss Wonderful, Miss Perfect, Miss Never Misses a Beat, always right on, knows exactly what's going on. from the time that she was very young, wanted to be on the praise team. And when she finally came of age to be on the praise team, realized that there was a thing called stage fright. And was so uncomfortable at a time when we would have a ladies' meeting. There's just 15 or 20 of us that she grew up with. Was too uncomfortable to come down front for prayer. Just didn't want to be seen. And to see how you've stepped into singing on the praise team, taking care of stuff back there, whatever needs covering in the sound booth, covering those things, stepping up, going to Bible school, watching God move in your life. You are always a blessing to this body. And again, you know, the enemy said, no, you can't have this one. Sorry, you can't have two. We'll just have to stop at that one. And she's here anyway, perfect and beautiful in every way. And we just want to say we appreciate you. We have a card, just a Merry Christmas and a thanks, guys. And then we have a check for $100 that maybe put a little something extra under the tree or, you know, go to McDonald's, some kind of high-class restaurant and have some fun. But we just want to say we love you and we appreciate you. All right, one down, one to go. I'm going to ask, drum roll, please. Thank you. There's always someone that will comply with that. I'm going to ask the Chambers family to come down here, or up here, whichever it is. So many hats that you wear, so many things that you've done, and I would have thought that there probably wasn't anything else you could do, and then you did. We talked about Friday night. Of course, Brother Rob is on our board. He has been a part of this body for many, many years. You know, I'm like, Sister Jerry, there's not one thing. Pastoral covering team, you have done faithfully and were assigned to by Pastor Jim. You love and you cover in the spirit and meet needs that we have. For those of you who don't know, she will follow me around and make me drink water. Because that was something my doctor said I need to do more. And she'll just kind of show up with a bottle of water and put it in my face continually. And amusingly, I noticed that during prayer meetings, she will follow me around with a box of Kleenex. Because I always cry and I'm never next to the box of tissues. And about the fourth tier, there's my tissue. But there are so many things that you cover. You work with our young people. Just any time of the day, I may find you here cleaning, sorting, setting things up, decorating for something, carrying out whatever it is in your heart that God has said to do. Faithful in prayer, faithful in covering this body, and faithful in coming alongside me. And I can't tell you how much that has meant. I'm so appreciative for your words of encouragement. How many of you have ever received a word of encouragement from Miss Jerry? Yeah. You just stand next to her sometime. Just the vibe that she gives off is always positive. She is a party person and loves people, and we love that in you. And joy has grown up so beautifully in this body and has become such an asset on the praise team. And as challenging as it was, much like Tara, for her to stand in front of others, knew that there was something in her spirit drawing her to that, and she's been faithful. And I'm hoping someday that we will actually manage to get her to be on the keyboards for us as well. Just going to throw that out there because she plays beautifully, but I don't want to call you to that. I want God to call you to that. So we'll see what the Lord does. But we just appreciate so much your smiling faces, your blessings, all that you do in the body. The encouragement, just being here constantly. And so we, for you as well, have a card to say thank you and Merry Christmas. And we have a check for $100 to, I don't know, do something fun, do something and rejoice in the Lord. God is up to stuff, huh? But just let these people know how much you love them. And I just have one more thing that's in my heart that I want to share. First of all, I want to thank everyone who continues to give. to Mission Botswana. As you know, we're gearing up to get Pastor Apostle Kempo back over to Botswana. He's going to be ministering in two different cities, and so there are some things that have become not on the wish list, but they are necessary. He's going to need a vehicle over there because it's too far to commute practically. The vehicle that's been offered for the church is to just on Sundays pick up people in the area and bring them. So that is not his personal vehicle. It belongs to the school in Kanye, but he's going to be living in Gabs, which is about an hour from where the church is. And so he is going to need a vehicle to commute in. And so in addition to getting all of his gear back over there, we're going to need to help him, as we talked about, furnish that house. We don't want him sleeping on the floor, having kids over to tell him about the goodness of God, and everybody has to sit on the floor. We want to be a blessing and show people how God takes care of his kids. Amen. So if God puts it on your heart to bless him with some extra for that, you can give that to Mission Botswana for vehicle, for furnishings, and for getting his gear over there. It's coming together, and God is blessing amazingly. And I am so thankful for all of you who have been so gracious and so obedient to bless them. And I just want to throw out one more little thing. We have, of course, Brother Kempo, and then we have Brother KB up here. And as you know, they're both a long way from home. I mean, this is home here. But they're still, KB's a long way from his family. Kempo is a long way from friends and family. And they're Christmasing here for the second time, which we did not expect. But praise God, you got to know how happy I am about that. I think God did that just for me. But, you know, it's Christmas time. The visa that they are here on, as most of you know, does not allow them to work. So they're not able to go out there and earn an honest wage, which I can guarantee you they would probably both be millionaires by now if they could, because they do have a strong work ethic. But it's not something that they're allowed to do, and I don't want to have anything close to that that anyone could hold against them. But if God would put it in your heart to bless them at Christmas, you know, they don't have the spending money, they're not earning any money, they have what little bit we're able to give them throughout the week, help them out, you know, with expenses and things. But if you just want to be a blessing to them, give them a little extra spending cash for Christmas, let them go out and find something special and be blessed. Just let them know that you love them. Just put that in your heart and see what the Lord would say to you. And I can promise you that you cannot outgive the Lord. Whether you give to bless these couples that have blessed us, when you're giving to your brothers and sisters in the family, to the ministers, when you give to these young men, when you give to Africa, God will bless you. Don't let that go. Say, Father, I've invested in your ministry, and I thank you that you come around and bless me. And there are many testimonies of that in this body, so know that God is faithful. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning again, church family. Come before you once again to give you an opportunity to ratify your covenant in the area of tithes and offerings. And I know that sounds like the redundancy police should be chasing me down, because I've said that same sentence over and over and over again. And please don't let it just go in one ear and out the other. Actually think about what I just said. This is an opportunity to ratify your covenant once again. Back in the Old Testament, they would actually go and slaughter animals in order to establish a covenant. We're not asking you to go out and, you know, raid the local farm to ratify your covenant. We're just asking you to just be obedient to what the word says. And so when I say that, please don't, well, that's Steve's hook, that's his line. No, that's what God told me to say when I step up here. And so the redundancy police may come and chase me down in a few years, but, you know, I'm going to continue to say that until I'm told otherwise. So if you're here in the house, please use the offering envelopes and offering buckets that are on your table. If you're watching online, please use the online sewing portal on our homepage or follow the link in our YouTube video and our Facebook feed. Today I want to go to Matthew chapter 2. It is the Christmas season. I figured this is an appropriate time to bring this one forward. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, rabbit trail. It didn't say when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It said after he was born in Bethlehem. So just so you know, this does not take place in Bethlehem, in the manger scene. This is not when this took place. This took place after that. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in the days of Herod the king, the Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born the king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." King Herod wasn't real pleased about that. Verse 7, King Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them when the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you have found him, report back to me so that I too may come and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they came to the star, they rejoiced greatly, exceedingly with great joy. And coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. And then opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In verse 12, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country. Now, if you carry this a little bit farther, God tells Joseph and Mary, he says, "Hey, get up and go, leave." And give you kind of a time frame when Herod got so hacked off that the Magi didn't come back to him and tell him where to find Jesus. He went into the Bethlehem area and killed everybody under the age of 2. So it kind of gives you a time frame. And we have this vision of the 3 wise men, and they came and they carried their little box of stuff and they gave. But tradition doesn't say that there were 3 wise men, and I just read the story to you. It didn't say that there were 3. Tradition tells us that there were dozens to as many as 100-150 that came. And they came from the east, and it took them 2 years to make that trek from wherever it was that they started to where they are. And the wealth that they brought and they gave to him was enough for the family to move and live in Egypt without fear of what King Herod was going to do to him. And they lived in Egypt until King Herod died. Now, I don't know off the top of my head how long Herod lived after this event. But just think about how much of a Christmas present you would have to get in order to pack up and move to a neighboring country and live there for several years. That was the gift that was brought to Jesus for that first Christmas. Keep that in mind. This Christmas season, you know, we go to Best Buy and Target and Bed Bath and Beyond, Body Works, and all that other fun jazz to go buying stuff for everybody. And remember the reason why we're here, specifically here as a church family. Remember the purpose of this season. It's not Christmas trees and Santa Claus. It's that opportunity that God took to bring to us a Savior so that we could have an eternal relationship with Him. And yes, we express that love to our friends and our family through gifts, but remember here that gift that you are to bring opens the doors of heaven so that your blessing can be given. So if you're watching online, please give using our online giving mechanism. If you prefer, you can certainly mail us a check to P.O. Box 140345, Austin, Texas. And when you give, please give in faith, knowing that as you give, it shall be given back.
Sinful ways. He was born in a manger. meek and lowly, grew up to be a man, humble and holy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This was the greatest gift of all. Yes, this was the greatest gift of all. Day. The baby Jesus was what we needed, just to show us our sinful ways. He was born in a manger, meek and lowly, grew up to be a man, humble and holy. This was the greatest gift of all. Yes, this was the greatest gift of all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God for that special day. Hallelujah. Jesus has shown us the way, with love and power, understanding and forgiveness, grace, peace, holiness and righteousness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This was the greatest gift of all. With love and power, standing, and forgiveness, grace, peace, holiness, and righteousness. With love and power, standing, and forgiveness, grace, peace, holiness, and righteousness. With love. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This was the greatest gift of all. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, this was the greatest gift of all. Oh, oh, oh. Yes, this was the greatest gift of all.
Father, thank you, sir, for your provision, your abundant supply, Father. With joy and gladness, we bring out of our house that which is yours, the tithe, the first tenth of our increase, Father. We honor you with it, Father. And we also bring offerings in faith, Father, knowing that as we give this morning, Lord, it's given unto us good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Father. We call this morning's tithe and offerings holy unto you and set apart for your will, your plan, your purpose. Have your way in it and through it, Father. And we celebrate, Father, the victory that you have given us through Christ Jesus and the provision that you have released into our lives this day, Lord. Thank you, Father. At this time, we're going to release the children to Kingdom Kids. The youth will be staying in today. Let's speak a blessing over them. Father, we thank you for the children of this house, Lord. And as they go into their ministry time, Lord, minister to them at their level, Father. Open the eyes of their understanding. Cause them to see your will, your plan, your purpose in a greater way, like they've never seen before. Cause them to see Christ Jesus, Lord, high and lifted up in their hearts, Father. Father, flow through the teachers, flow through the ministers, Father. Give them the words to speak, the things to say. Cause rivers of living water to flow out of their bellies, Father. Father, we declare and decree the children are built up, edified, strengthened in their inner man, Father, ready to go out and leave here and be lights that shine in the darkness, Father. Do what you've called them to do and be who you've called them to be, Father. Thank you, Lord. Children, you are dismissed.
This is my word to this house. Set your heart on me, on my word, on what I have promised. For today will be a day marked by no other. Hear and receive the word. Take the word into your heart and know that what I have said and what I have promised, you will see. You will see what you will believe to see. If you stand on my word and believe my word, you will see my word. This is a season where you see miracles. You celebrate those miracles. But I want to be a miracle in your life. I want you to start taking hold of what has been spoken for this house. You're not here by accident, but it's time to move. And I am ready to move. But you got to be ready to move where I say move and do what I say do. Hear the word. Believe the word and watch me move in your life.
Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. We're going to be in the 19th chapter of Matthew this morning in verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And we are going to teach through most of this area of chapter 19 up to verse 29 possibly, but we'll follow the Holy Spirit and go at his direction. But Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, what we're about to read, what we're about to study, is really a referendum on the efforts of man. Man's efforts are limited. God's efforts are not. There is only so much man can do. And man is not God. So God is not looking for what man can do. He's looking at what he's already done. And so if we look at verse 16 of chapter 19, and someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Now, hold your finger there because I want you to see the sandwich. Y'all know what a sandwich is. Two pieces of bread with something in between. Now that something can be turkey, ham, peanut butter, jelly, chicken salad. No. But I want you to see the sandwich. Hold your finger at verse 16. Again, verse 16 says, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And then go over to verse 26, because that's where we're going to end up. And I want to show you where we're going to end up so then we can see the context of what we're about to read in its entirety. Verse 26 says, "And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible.'" So the question starts off, what good thing may I do to inherit eternal life? We're going to wind up with people, this is impossible. It was impossible for man to bring about salvation for himself. But with God, all things are possible. So I wanted you to see the sandwich. I wanted you to see where we're going to end up so that we have the right context. So he starts off in verse 16, "Teacher, what good thing?" So he's looking for something good, and he says, "Shall I do?" I'm looking for something that I can do to obtain eternal life. And he's not talking about many things. He says, "What good thing can I do?" I'm looking for something I can do in order to obtain eternal life. And Jesus replied and said, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good." Eternal life is not about what is good. It is about who is good. He's looking for a what good thing shall I do. And Jesus says, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. You aren't even in the right area. You aren't even in the right plane." John chapter 17 verse 3 says what? "And this is eternal life, that you may do a thing." No, that you may know a person. "And this is eternal life, that you may know him," know the Father, know God, and to know Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Too many people are caught up in what they can do to obtain eternal life, what they can do to be right with God. Well, I'll come to church when I get my life right. If I do these good things, if I honor my mother and my father, if I help old people across the street and with their groceries, if I go to church, if I pay my tithes, then if I do enough good things, they will add up to eternal life. And Jesus said, "You're missing the boat here. It's not about a what. It's about a who." And once you can define your who, then you can focus on your do. But you can define your do all you want, and if you never get to the who, you still do not have life. So he says, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good." And God says, "Eternal life is about knowing me, knowing him, and knowing Jesus Christ, whom I have sent. But if you wish to enter life," meaning if you wish to experience life and have things go well with you, "obey the commandments." If we look in Leviticus, we'll skip over real quick. Chapter 18, verse 5, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 5, it says, "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments by which a man may live if he does them. I am the Lord. So we are back in the law. And according to the law, if you do good, you will experience life. You will live if you obey my statutes. If we go to Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 29, it says, and admonish them in order to turn them back to your law, yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to your commandments, but sinned against your ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. So again, we are told that according to the law, when you obey the statutes and the ordinances, that you will live, that things will go well for you. And then Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 21. Give me a moment to get there. I didn't properly bookmark that verse. Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 21 says, but the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes, nor were they careful to observe my ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he will live. So the law, the Old Testament, was about experiencing natural life, good things happening to you here in the earth when you obeyed the statutes, when you obeyed the commandments, when you obeyed the law, things would go well for you here on the earth. This was not pertaining to eternal life. This was pertaining to life, good things, things going well with you on the earth. And so he says, since you are asking, back to Matthew chapter 19, since you are asking about things, since you are asking about the what, then I'll meet you there. Let's talk about that. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, now he's about to get into some of the commandments. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I find it interesting that Jesus mentioned six commandments. Let's count them. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. He mentioned six commandments, not five, not seven, but six. And if you're a student of the Bible, you understand that the number of man is six. On the sixth day, God created man. The number of the Antichrist, Revelation says, is the number of a man, threefold. Six, six, and six. For 6 days, man should work. And on the seventh, rest. There were six ceremonial pots at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. They were washing pots. Man was familiar with surface level washing, ceremonial washing in the Old Testament. Not being washed by the blood, but being washed by water. cleaning the outside, but not the inside. He turned the water into wine, which represents the blood. And there are many other references to the number six, types and shadows, that if you're watching and you're reading by the Spirit, you will pick up on. But he lists six commandments which highlights man's efforts, what man is able to do. Since you are asking me about what you can do, let's start with man's efforts. It's only going to get you so far. Verse 20, the young man said to him, all these things I've done, what man can do. I've executed man's efforts at man's level. The young man said, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? The young man still sensed that something was missing in his life. Why? Because the efforts of man will never get you to the life of God. The efforts of the flesh will never get you into eternal life, into the kingdom of God. Yes, you can have good things here on the earth. And that's why people who don't know God, who don't tithe, who don't give, can also be rich. Why? They are working the system of mammon. They are working the world, and so they have temporary pleasure in this life. But it is not eternal life. Many times it comes with regret and comes with sorrow. God is interested in giving you life, giving you blessings with no remorse tied to it. When you can walk in the blessings of God in every area of your life, be blessed, and you not have to compromise your integrity, your family, the calling of God to get it, to do it, that is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. So man can do what man can do, but it is not eternal life. It is life here, living here, experiencing good things on the earth, because you are working man's system. You are working the system of mammon. So he senses that something is still missing in my life. You can have a whole lot of money but not have life. You can know a whole lot of people but still be depressed. You can have many possessions and still not be fulfilled. You can go to church, say a prayer before your meal, take communion, do good things, give in charities, and still not experience the life that God has called you to experience. Because man's efforts is only going to get you so far. You will still sense and know that something is missing. You can do things according to the flesh. Peter said, Jesus, we've been fishing all day, and we haven't caught anything. But now it will be with a different drive. It will be at your word. At your word now, we will let down the net. Before, it was at our word. Before, we were fishing in our own strength, our own ability. But when you're fishing in your own strength and own ability, you will see that you are still broken. You are still naked. You are still torn, because that's not going to get you into the abundant overflow of life that God has for you. Not just financially, but in every arena, every area of your life. So he's sensing that, okay, I have operated by the commandments, by what man can do, but I am still lacking something. What am I lacking? And why is he lacking? Jesus said, well, if you want to go beyond that, verse 21, if you wish to be complete, the word complete here can also be translated perfect. You've been doing what man can do. You've been doing what the flesh can do, but you still aren't complete. You still are not perfect. Why is that? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19. Jesus said, if you wish to be complete, if you wish to be perfect, you are not complete. You are not perfect. Why? It's simple. For the law made nothing perfect. The law made nothing complete. You have been operating in something that is not complete. It is types and shadows that point to the completion. You've been operating on your efforts, but now there is a better hope through which we may draw near. So back to Matthew chapter 19. If you're looking for a better hope, if you're looking for perfection, if you're looking for that by which you may draw near, let's talk about me. Let's talk about my kingdom. Let's talk about my way. And let's talk about your heart. He says, if you wish to be complete, follow me. I know I just skipped something. I'm coming back to it. I like these sandwiches. He says, if you wish to be complete, and then he wraps up with, follow me. You will never be complete outside of Christ. The good news is that those of us who are in him are complete. You are complete in him. You are perfected in him. He says, if you want to be complete, it's about me. It's about following me, not about following man, not about being in man's system and what man can do. It's about following me. But if you are going to follow me, you have to make sure that there's nothing preventing you from entering into what God has for you. Anything that would prevent you from entering in first to be born again. This man was not born again. No one was. First and foremost, Jesus says, don't let there be anything that causes you to stumble from entering into the kingdom of God. First, to enter in, being born again. Secondly, after you are born again, to lay hold of all that the kingdom affords you. All that the kingdom of God has for you. But first and foremost, it says, don't let your possessions stop you from entering into the kingdom of God, stop you from following me. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to stumble, if your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom lame than not enter the kingdom at all. You have to understand the context. These people were not born again. They still have yet to even make the entry step into the kingdom of God. But there's still a lesson for us believers who have entered into the kingdom and are members of the kingdom in order to walk in the kingdom here in the earth. But he says, if your hand, if your eye, but what if it's your heart? Then cut that out. And Jesus said, I will take out the stony heart. I will cut that out and I will put in a heart that's tender, that's open before me. If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus says, go and sell your possessions. Your possessions. Do you have your possessions, or do you have his stewardship? Go and sell your possessions. You can have the mindset that says, this is mine, this is all mine, this all belongs to me. Look at what my hands built and put together, because that was his mindset, because he was looking for the commandments and what good thing he could do. He was very much into self-effort. His life that he had built for himself. Now you're asking me to part with my possessions. We haven't even talked about the possessions that God has put into your hands for you to steward, that you don't look at as mine, but as God's, and you're able to hold loosely. He says, go and sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Verse 22, but when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving. Why did he go away grieving? Because God touched on something that he had allowed to become a god in his life. Be careful when you go from stewardship to this is mine. Be careful when you allow the things of the earth, the base things of the earth, the Bible says, to become a god for you and to be the driver of your life. He went away grieving. God had touched on something that hit him in his gut, hit him in his core, something that he had exalted, something that was preventing him from following Christ. Now, here's the thing. It says he walked away grieving. There is nothing that says he had to walk away. But the fact that he walked away grieving said, Lord, I'm not even willing to stay here and grieve with you. Lord, you're asking me to do this. This is so hard, but I'm right here. I'm right here. What he said when he walked away is like, I'm not even willing to entertain parting with this thing. I'm not even willing to entertain. I'm not even willing to let you help me walk out of this. Wow. He had hit on something that in his grief, instead of reaching out to God, he walked away from God. And that was the terrible thing. Jesus would say, the sin is not that they have sinned. The sin is that the Son of Man has come, the light has shined, and they love darkness rather than light. The sin was not that they were sinners so much. It was that help was here, and they refused the help. So we walked away grieving. He could have stayed there because God would have helped him, we're about to find out. Turn to Luke chapter 12 in verse 13. We're talking about, we moved into a sub-theme about money, about possessions. Is God after your possessions? Is God telling you to sell everything you own after you leave church today? What if he is? But he's not, but what if he is? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then he said to them, "Beware and be on the guard against every form of greed. God doesn't want us to be greedy. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." What is God's heart? He doesn't want you to count your possessions as your life. He doesn't want you to count your abundance of money, your abundance of friends, your abundance of possessions, your abundance of gifts, your abundance of talents, your abundance of anything. He doesn't want you to count that as your life because he says your life does not consist in the abundance that you have. Then he told them a parable saying, "The land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?'" Brian, why are we reading this passage? Because I want you to get the full heart of what God is after when he talks about possessions and money, and it's throughout the Bible. It's not just in one passage. So once we get the full heartbeat of God when it comes to money, then we can understand what he is ultimately looking for. He began reasoning, saying, "What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?" Then he says, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared and stored up? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." God is looking for people that are rich towards him. That their main number one priority is him and his kingdom, and then things come after that. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Are you allowing things to be added to you? If God was not interested in you having possessions, he would not add things to you. That Matthew chapter 6 is talking about natural, provisional, monetary things. All these things that the Gentiles seek after will be added unto you. We only have 24 hours in a day. We can only do so much with that time. We could spend that time seeking after that which God calls us to follow, or we can spend that time seeking him, knowing that those things will follow. I'm not saying don't work, don't be diligent, don't put your hands to something. We should do all those things. But there is a difference between stewarding and pursuing and seeking to a point where you are no longer seeking the kingdom. "Who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Verse 22. "For this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. Means they don't have a job. Okay? They don't have a farm. They can't plant seed and reap a harvest. And yet, your Father takes care of them and feeds them. It says they have no storeroom or barn. That means they have no savings account. They have no checking account. They have no investments. They have no storeroom or barn. And yet, so they don't have man's system of mammon. And yet, they don't have, what if you can't work for some reason? How are you going to get stuff? This verse tells you. They don't have the standard setup. They don't have the standard things. Some people retire, stop working a natural job, and they say, I'm on a fixed income. This verse tells you the income does not have to be fixed. The only reason it's fixed is because your mindset is still back with this rich young ruler of what the six things man can do. But being perfect and being complete is entering into his rest. And once you've entered into his rest, then you can allow God and the kingdom of God to be your source, to be your provision. So, yet God feeds them. I'm not telling you to go quit your job. Anyone who just thought that. Okay? The Bible clearly tells us that we should lay our hands to something. Let him who stole steal no more, but let him work with his hands so that he would have something to give. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men of the earth come pour abundance into your lap. Once that happens over and over again, now you can live on your giving, but you started with working, putting your hands to something that you would have something to give. Once you start giving and investing where God tells you to give and invest, you can grow to a point where maybe you don't need to do what you used to do years ago or not do as much of it. Where the harvest on your giving begins to overtake your working. How much more valuable are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Do not seek what you will eat, what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. And this is what I want to get to, verse 32, very powerful. Do not be afraid, little flock. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. He wraps up all of this provision from God with this. Your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. These things are a part of the kingdom. Now, you can either operate by the system of mammon, or you can operate by the kingdom. When he tells the rich young ruler, go and sell your possessions, and you will have treasure in heaven. It's not that he's trying to not have this man have possessions. He wants to make sure that his heart is focused on the kingdom. And he says, in the kingdom, you will have all of this and more. So now, the kingdom system becomes a replacement for the mammon system. But he was so captured by the system of mammon, he didn't see any other way that he was going to be taken care of lest he depended on man, depended on mammon. He said, go and sell your possessions. It says it again in, did I get to that part? No, I didn't. I didn't get to that part. All right. So verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock. Your father has gladly, he's not penny pinching. He has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. And then we see it again, verse 33. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven. Are y'all seeing some of the same language here that we're reading about in Matthew chapter 19? The same language here. Sell your possessions. Give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of God has to become a replacement for the system of mammon in your life. When you became born again, you became a citizen of the New Jerusalem. You became a member of the kingdom of God. You became an ambassador of the kingdom posted here on the earth to shine his light, his glory, and to establish his kingdom in different spheres of influence in the earth. You are an ambassador. Hebrews tells us that the kingdom that we are members of, it's unshakable. That even when the world shakes, it does not shake. And if it does not shake, we don't have to be shaken either. Now, we can be. And sometimes we are. But we don't have to be. There is a way of escape. There's a way out. And it is having a kingdom mentality and having divested yourself of reliance on the system of mammon. Having divested yourself on reliance of man. I'm not saying that you don't interact with all the different tools and vessels that God can use that are natural here in the earth to get you what you need. I'm saying is that your reliance, your dependency, your focus is not on man's system. It's on the kingdom system. It's on God who takes care of you. It's on your father who takes care of you. It's on your shepherd who looks after you. Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. Listen to this. And from joy over it, this rich young ruler did not have joy of what he was about to enter into. He couldn't see it. All he could see was what he could do with his own hands. I can't see not having money in my savings account. What if that were to happen? Uh-oh. I can't see myself not working this job. What if that were to happen? Uh-oh. I can't see myself not having an inheritance from my grandma, my great-grandma, my grandpa. And what? Which a man from joy over it, he goes, we're going to see the language again. He goes, and what does he do? Sells all that he has. It doesn't stop right there. When God calls you to sell all that you have, whatever it is, anything that's keeping you from entering to the kingdom of God, one, to be born again, and two, to live it out here on the earth, it doesn't stop with just sell it. You sell it so that you can buy a different field. You sell it because you're buying a different field. you're selling is actually an investment. You are entering into a different market. They say it takes money to make money. You take, this is just in the natural, you take what you have and you say, I could have this, or I could have this. If I let this go and I take what man calls a risk in the market and I invest that, I am doing it to receive multiplied wealth. Multiplication of what I just invested, of what I just sowed. I'm not getting rid of this so that I can have nothing. I'm getting rid of this so I can have more. I'm getting rid of this so I can have better. I'm getting rid of this so I can have this and then some. I'm going to say that again. I am selling this so that I can have this and then some. So it says that he, for the joy, see, you have to have vision. You have to be able to see the kingdom. You have to be able to see what God has for you around the corner in that next step and get excited about it with joy over understanding the treasure hidden in the field that he's just come across, sells all that he has and buys that field because he understands that that field is going to yield way more than what he currently has. What is the purchase price of the kingdom of God? Well, it's faith. It's trust. Are you willing to let all trust and dependency on the world system go? I did not say all usage. There's a difference between usage and trust. We use natural things. You have a bed, you sleep in. Jesus used natural things. He did not walk on the water everywhere he went. Does everybody understand that? Sometimes he used a boat. Okay. Well, Brian, I don't want to get a job. I'm just going to believe God. If the Spirit of God tells you to get a job, and even if he doesn't, the Word of God tells you to get a job, then get a job and work until, one, you're living on your giving, or two, God calls you into something else, something different that God has for you. But Jesus didn't walk on the water everywhere he went. Jesus had the crowds and the masses with him for days. He fed the crowds and masses with 2 fish and 5 loaves. They had been with him with nothing to eat for days. After all that, he says, hey, look, don't send them away hungry. They might faint on the way. Well, they've been with you 3 days and they haven't fainted. Why are we concerned about fainting on the way home now? Can't we just release a non-faint anointing? But every single day and every single moment is not a supernatural moment. I got to qualify that a little bit. It is, but every single endeavor is not using the supernatural. There is some natural interaction that takes place that God uses. That's all I'm saying. Jesus spit in the dirt. The dirt's a natural thing. He made some mud. Now, all these other times, he simply laid his hands on them or spoke a word. Now he's using the natural thing. I need some mud here. Go fill these pots with water. Well, can't we just supernaturally fill them with water? No, we have to be led by the Spirit and understand when those moments God is moving expressly, and when we need to do some natural things, knowing that He's using that method. Okay. All right. So from joy over it, he goes and sells. He goes and sells. He goes and sells because he has vision that I'm selling this, but I see the kingdom, and it's this and so much more. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had. He went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. He understood that that great pearl that he just found is so much more valuable than what he had. Back to Matthew chapter 19, and we'll close. Is God against having things? Now, I think if we look at the entirety of the Bible, verse after verse, scripture after scripture, the way he prospered Abraham, the way he prospered and gave riches to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 10 through 13, that God is not against his people having things. As a matter of fact, he's for his people having things. Okay? What he is against is things having us. What he is against is anything that hinders us from entering into the kingdom of God, being born again first and foremost, and then two, anything that hinders us from entering into the things of the kingdom as far as growth goes. When the things of the kingdom are in the balance, nothing can be more important. Whenever you're confronted with the call of God, whatever that call is, it could be something simple, it could be something big, it could be something in between. But whatever that call is, you know, it could be, I want you to spend more time reading the Word. Well, I really don't have time, and you know, I got, you know, got this going on, this going on, this going on, this going on. This going on. Look, I want you to spend more time doing this. I want you to do this, whatever it is. You know, I said reading the Word, but whatever it is, and that theme conflicts with something else in your life. That is a moment. That is a moment right there. Now, it may not be a where you spend eternity moment, but it's a moment as to whether or not you are going to let go to get more. You are going to sell out to embrace this thing that God has in front of you over here. Sell this possession to gain this. Well, it feels like if I let this go, then I'll be deficient in an area, in my relationships, my finances, my health, whatever. But God is not interested in you being deficient. He's interested in you in gaining that and much more. So we have to look out for those moments that come our way. This is not a call for every believer to indiscriminately sell everything they have. It is a call to sell it if and when God asks you to, and to not let anything take precedent over walking in His plan, His will, His purpose for your life. Verse 23. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man..." He didn't say it was impossible. He said it was hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. "Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished. They didn't say, oh yeah, that makes sense. They were astonished. Why would they be astonished? Because it was a very common thing for people. These were not broke people who didn't have anything. It's very common in their mind, in their community, for people to have wealth, for people to have things. Jesus had things. He was stewarding them, but he had things. He had a place to live. Well, no, Brian, he had nowhere to lay his head. Then how did he sleep in the boat? Right, if we're going to go that literal on that verse, the Bible says he was asleep in the boat when the storm came. Well, he had nowhere to lay his head. No, it's saying he had no place in this world system of finding rest because that was not where he was from. They were astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. With people, this is impossible. Again, the emphasis on man's efforts versus what God can do. But with God, all things are possible. Here's the lesson. When you find something that God is asking you to do that's difficult, and I've been there before. Ooh, God, you going there? I kind of mastered this. When God asks you to do something difficult, no matter what it, you know, between you and God, no matter what it is, don't walk away grieving like the rich young ruler did. Even if you have to stand there and say, I'm here, Lord. This is hard. This is hard. And you crying and you sling a snot, but you say, Lord, I'm here. I don't see a way within myself to go there. But that's why he said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Who then can be saved? Everybody has this challenge. God has a way of getting you where you need to be if you won't walk away, if you won't quit, if you won't let go. Real quick, verse 27, then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms, and many people in that time and even this time were in situations where they were doing this, where the kingdom of God was bringing division within families. What's this new thing? Everyone who has left houses of brothers and sisters for my name's sake, not just you did it for some other reason. No, you did it because of me. You did it for me because your heart was towards me, or I was calling you to something. We'll receive many times as much. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that you, so some translations say you'll receive 100-fold. Now, you may not want 100 mothers or 100 husbands or 100 wives, okay, or 100 brothers and sisters, okay? But it says you receive many times as much, meaning that what you will get, your return on that investment of whatever it is that you sacrifice, not for you, not because of the way you want things, but because solely for the kingdom of God, not for religion, but for the kingdom of God, for the call of God, for the call of Jesus, there is much more on the other side of that. Yes. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. We're done.
Praise God. Praise God. Did y'all get anything out of that? I did. I got a bunch. I even made notes. God is good. He wants us to have good things, but he doesn't want those things to have us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard this morning. We thank you for this time that we've had of celebration and rejoicing before you. We thank you, Father, for your anointing, for your presence, for your joy, your peace. And we just continue to follow you and follow and bask in your presence, Father God, as we prepare to leave this place and go our ways. I thank you, Father, that you go with us. And the word that we have heard this morning is rooted in our heart, and it takes and it produces much fruit, Father God, that our lives would be different even this afternoon or this evening or tomorrow because of the implantation of the word of God into our hearts. Help us to be doers of your word, Father God, and not just hearers only. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate all the gifts that you have placed in our lives and placed before us. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, stand with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. One time, let's just praise God. Come on. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name. We glorify your name. There is none like you. You have done such great and mighty things in our midst, Father. You have done such great and mighty things in our lives, and we celebrate and rejoice in that. We thank you. We thank you, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you. Praise you, mighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I call you the blessed of the Lord as you continue to praise throughout the day and throughout the rest of your life. Praise brings peace and joy into your life because it brings God into your life. I say that you are the blessed of the Lord. Everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful. Everywhere you go, you bring the light and the very presence and essence of God into each situation, each circumstance. And the kingdom of God is established because you, as an ambassador, bring his presence. You're surrounded with favor and his grace and his mercy. You have an open door to his throne room, and he said his heavens are open to us. Receive the goodness of God. Rejoice in his presence. Go with God and get some refreshments on the way out because they're stacked up in the youth room or in the entryway back there. I just know it. We will see you on Wednesday night. We're going to have another blowout. So, yeah. Yes. Church on Sunday. You're dismissed. God bless you. Go with God.